the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, who raises the dead. Amen. What strikes me about this text this time around, we've seen this before, this text, and there's so much here. But what strikes me now is that Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life, not at the end, after Lazarus is raised and showered and fresh and alive, but when death is stinking and things are at their worst. There's a scene right at the beginning of the next chapter where Jesus is actually sitting at the banquet table with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Everyone is laughing together, I imagine. Food is certainly being served. Wine is being poured. You can easily imagine with me good smells and good stories, hearty laughter at the table. Only one chapter past this point. But that's not where Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Everyone who lives in me will never die. See, look around. No, Jesus says this. I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who lives in me will never die. At exactly the moment when Lazarus is stone cold dead. 4 stinking days dead in the tomb. When Martha comes at him in bitterness and blame. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And of course, by the way, beneath bitterness and blame, beneath anger is always sadness and fear. Friends in Christ, Jesus isn't just with us in the banquet times, in the parties and the family feasts and the full sanctuaries. Jesus is with us through it all. Jesus doesn't say, I'm the resurrection and the life at the sunny, shiny, glorious end. He says it right smack in the cloudy, cold, muddy middle. And we're in the middle now. In the cloudy, cold, muddy middle. Deep in this muddy valley. Shadows and fears all around. Slogging through our days. Anxious and angry, sad and afraid. We're right smack in the middle of it these days in this unprecedented season of Lent, this quarantine, which literally means 40 days, this COVID-19 nightmare. We'll never forget this time. But friends, we have a God who is here with us in it. And this God, this one Jesus Christ, does several things with us here in the cloudy, cold, muddy middle. First of all, Jesus weeps. What is that about? Especially in the Gospel of John. If you've been listening to my interpretations of John's Gospel over the months, I continually find Jesus to be completely in control, completely cool, completely calm. It's almost off-putting. It's for a point, though. Jesus is always in control in John's gospel. Cool, calm. He loves everyone, but I haven't seen him lose it before. After all, Jesus is all divine, especially that's clear in John's gospel. There's no question about it, according to John. All these signs, remember these miracles? Last week it was the blind man. Jesus feeds 5,000 people. He heals. He walks on water. All these signs all point to his divinity. So what's he crying about? He has the power to raise Lazarus. Any of us had the power to raise the dead? If I had the power to raise the dead, I'd probably show up to your house after a death, the death of your loved one, and I'd be like, step aside, everyone. Check this out, everyone. I don't think tears would be my issue. If we had dead-raising powers, we might be serious and stoic, maybe for dramatic effect, but we'd know we had a miracle up our sleeve. I'm being a little trite, but here's my point. Jesus, on the other hand, weeps. Jesus weeps. Ponder that this week, this long season of quarantine. I think one could write a doctoral dissertation on this shortest verse in all of Scripture, especially because this is in John's gospel where Jesus is all in control and calm. I don't have the answer as to what that's all about, why Jesus is crying. But I will say this, Jesus weeping points to divinity also. It's not counted as one of the seven signs, but I think it should be. What kind of a God cries? Ours does. Tears say, I'm with you. Ever been with a friend when you were really hurting, who didn't have an answer or any wise words, but just started crying with you? I mean, even just the little tearing up as they're listening to you share what is heavy on your heart and what's hurtful for you, and they just kind of tear up a little bit. I've never felt so heard, so understood, so accompanied, so embraced. We have a visual of this last week. I'm not sure if you've seen these clips of Hoda from the Today Show. If you just Google Hoda, you'll find it. She's always so professional. She's one of the best, right? She's a host of the Today Show. She's so professional. She's so scripted. She's always in control, like superstars are. This week, after she did an interview with Drew Brees and they kind of wrapped up, and she said something about how kindness is also contagious in this season. And they both had these wonderful expressions, we love you. They both said to each other, our people love your people. And it was just wonderful. And then after that, she just lost it. Everybody's buzzing about that right now, but it is a powerful visual. You should look at it. It's just a tiny glimpse of our God, who so deeply and completely hears and understands and accompanies and loves us. Maybe that's what those tears were all about. Christ is here, right smack in the middle of our pain, of our sorrow, of our fear, of our losses, our anxieties, and right smack in the middle of our tears. All of this happens not after the raising and unbinding, but before it, when things really, literally stink. God is there. God is here, present, loving, weeping, never felt so embraced. And then the final sign. The raising of Lazarus is the final sign in the Gospel of John. The whole second half of the book now is the passion story in John's Gospel. So this is the end of the first half of the Gospel of John. And this is the finale. Harken back to the first sign when Jesus turned the water to wine. It was back in chapter 2. Mary was there at that time. And she's here at the tomb of Lazarus, and she will be there at the cross as well. Mary, all the way back to the wedding feast at Cana, she says something. She says, do whatever he tells you. Do you remember that? She says this to the servants. She tells them, do whatever Jesus tells you. As Jesus' seven signs unfold through John's narrative, Jesus is always giving a command, telling his sheep to do something, whether that is in chapter 2, fill the jars with water, or take up your mat and walk, or gather whatever food is left over, or go wash in the pool of scent. That was last week. And today, Lazarus, come out, unbind him, and let him go. Jesus is always giving a command that goes along with the sign. And Mary gives us advice. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Do whatever Jesus commands. Friends in Christ, let's heed Mary's advice. Do whatever Jesus tells us. Why? Because when we do what Jesus tells us to do, good things happen. That is, God's glory is revealed. When we listen, when we trust, then we see and walk and eat and rise from the dead and finally understand. When we listen, we're all sheep of the good shepherd, remember? And sometimes we go astray. And God's going to love us and forgive us even when we fail miserably at listening, trusting, seeing, and understanding Jesus. That's actually the thrust of the Gospel of Luke. God's going to hold us no matter what. But here's John's gospel. But our life becomes abundant when we follow Mary's advice and do whatever Christ tells us to do. And Christ tells us today, come out. Unbind him. Unbind all those where death and sorrow has wrapped around. And let that go. Come out. Our life becomes abundant when we follow Mary's advice and do whatever Christ tells us to do. Not only has Jesus given sight to the blind, health to the sick, food to the hungry, and brought a crazy good party to the wedding feast in Cana, and to all our feasts and party days over the years, right? Not only has Christ abundantly blessed us in so many ways, I hope, by the way, in these isolating days, I hope you're doing some good reflecting and giving thanks for all the party days, for the crazy good parties, your wedding feasts at Cana. I'm doing some reflecting, some time looking at old pictures and videos of the good times and finding myself giving thanks for that. I hope you're able to do that too, just taking stock of all the ways God has blessed us. Not only has Christ done all this, given us all this, he even raises the dead. He even brings us through our valleys, out of our tombs, unbinds us, lets us go. He even brings us through our losses, through our pain, definitely through our tears, through death itself, friends. And gives us life, and life abundant, not just ventilator life, but family and friends and laughter and banquet tables life. This life is ours even now, even in the mud, not just at the great feast that is to come, not just at the sunshiny, glorious end. This resurrection and life is ours right now, right smack in the middle, right here in our valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd is with us. Now that's something worth celebrating. That's not just a silver lining. That's the center. That's the center of our gathering. That's the center of our faith. That's the rock in a weary land. That's the cross. Thanks be to God. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No. Not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!